1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The civil trial against Fox News is set to begin today. Dominion Voting Systems accuses the network of knowingly broadcasting falsehoods about its technologies and the results of the 2020 election. Outside the courthouse in Wilmington, Delaware, ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Fox has called Dominion's case a political crusade in search of a financial windfall. The network's top host could be called to testify. Fox News argues they could not be liable for repeating newsworthy claims made by former President Trump and his allies.
Dominion is suing Fox for more than $1.5 billion. Today is tax day. The IRS says the average tax question caller was put on hold for only 4 minutes this year, a vast improvement over what was happening during the pandemic. The Treasury Department hired 5,000 new IRS call center agents. A court in Moscow has denied an appeal for the release of detained Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich, who appeared in court today for the first time. This is ABC News. Underway now at the Supreme Court, arguments over what kind of allowances an employer has to make for a worker's religious beliefs. A former worker at the post office sued after he says he was forced to work on Sundays or resign. ABC's Terry Moran says.
Decades ago, Supreme Court defined undue hardship to mean anything more than a trivial cost. And religious freedom advocates say that's led to discriminating against people of faith. Gerald Groff says that's unfair. But employers warn that they could end up accommodating everything from workers at pharmacies who don't want to dispense birth control to workers who won't get vaccinated.
A decision from the High Court isn't expected until next year. More battles over the African country of Sudan, where more than 180 people have been killed. The two sides are said to be agreeing to a day-long ceasefire that should start in a couple of hours. YouTube is unveiling new policies to try to rein in content around eating disorders. Videos with binging, purging, or excessive calorie counting could be blocked. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Congressman Tom Tiffany is looking like a potential candidate for U.S. Senate. He bought two website names, ThomasTiffanyForSenate.com and TomTiffanyForSenate.com. Tiffany says he's weighing his options. Tiffany is in his second term in the U.S. House. Baldwin announced her re-election bid last week. So far, there are no declared Republican challengers. The leaders of Wisconsin's two-year branch campuses are being told to look at ways to make them financially stable. UW System President Jay Rothman says everything is on the table. That includes adding bachelor's degrees or continuing education programs. The audits are part of Rothman's wider strategic plan for the system. In sports, the Brewers beat Seattle last night 7-3. Colin Rhea starts for Milwaukee tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come ticket.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football, fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, tell lies, and I got truth.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to welcome back Reverend James Harden. He is the CEO and founder of Compass Care. Is the CEO in ComCare Pregnancy Services and lives outside of Rochester, New York with his wife and 10 children. Reverend Harden pioneered the first measurable and repeatable medical model in the pregnancy center movement, helping hundreds of centers nationwide become more effective at reaching more women and saving more babies from abortion. He has written extensively on medical ethics, executive leadership, and pro-life strategy. Recently, Compass Care's pro-life medical office in Buffalo was firebombed. And so... Let me welcome back my guest, Reverend James Harden. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Earl. Thanks for having me back. It's an honor, as always.
Yeah, let me ask you, if we're ever going to be able to come to a happy medium in this country as it relates to this pro-life and pro-choice issue, do you ever see a point in time where we can, you know, satisfy both sides, or is that impossible?
That is the million-dollar question, and I think I would have to say no. And the reason unless our country comes back to a commonly held set of core values.
Which are what?
Well, they would have to be rooted in, you know, what it means to be human. So, for example, we all believe that we're made in the image of God, and therefore
we don't all believe that, sir.
I know.
We have to put that on the table. So you said we all believe, yep. And no, we don't.
No, we don't, and that's what I'm saying. That's the problem. We don't hold the same core values. We don't have the same beliefs that would allow us to come to agreement you know, on which human beings to protect and which ones not to protect. And so if we think that we're just made, you know, a little bit higher than the animals, then, you know, justice doesn't have a basis for human dignity. There is no basis for human equality other than what the government dictates. If someone believes that all human beings are made in the image of God and just made just a little lower than God himself, then that's the basis for human dignity. And there's a requirement to protect all people equally, because there's this inherent value to all human beings, not just what they can provide me or how much pleasure they can give me or, you know, how much they can give to society, whatever that might mean. It has to do with they're human.
Reverend, I would say in theory, I agree with you, but in practice, that doesn't exist in this country. All human beings are not treated equally. All human beings don't have the same standing in this world or in this country. Mm-hmm. We have a system. No. We live in a system where if you have money, you'll get the best health care. More so. So those things don't exist in theory. I mean, in practice.
Yeah, and that's why we got to fight for them. That's why we got to fight for them, because they don't exist. And I think that the more we fight for them, the closer we can get. You know, while we might not get to utopia, right? We can get closer. And I don't mean that we're going to get to a godless utopia. I don't mean that. I mean that if we fight for the truth, and I believe this is true, if we fight for the truth that all people are created in the image of God and therefore equally valuable without partiality from the womb to the tomb, and I believe that, then if we fight for that truth, we can get a little closer. We can become more human. We can rehumanize, re-civilize.
So right now what's on the table, and clearly after Roe versus Wade was overturned, is the determination on whether or not people can take the abortion pill. And now we're in that fight and in that battle. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh my gosh. The nation's on fire right now. So much happened. Even on last week on Friday, the Supreme Court weighed in and stayed, basically had all the various lower court rulings stopped and said, look, we're stepping in. Joe Biden asked us to step in. Justice Alito, speaking on behalf of the entire Supreme Court, said, we're going to hear this. In fact, today is the day that all the plaintiffs were supposed to have their information delivered to the Supreme Court for their review. And they'll review it today and tomorrow, and likely come up with a ruling about the what's going to happen with chemical abortion moving forward. In Texas,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Now I was just going to say that in Texas, the judge ruled that the FDA has to go back and do their due diligence. That the FDA did not do what they were supposed to do according to their own legal protocols for approving this dangerous chemical abortion drug. And so that's all he asked them to do: just go back and do your job. And so the court in Washington State told the FDA, hey, ignore the Texas ruling. In fact, we want you to deregulate it further than you already did. And that's when the Supreme Court stepped in.
So what do you believe a safe time frame it is to take that pill? You know, 6 weeks? Or do you don't believe in the pill whatsoever?
I think that the pill is extremely dangerous to women. You know where I stand on abortion. I think abortion is wrong. And I am, you know, in every circumstance, I believe we're talking about a human being here, and that human being, it needs to be protected.
And so you would consider then that the pill itself is a form of abortion. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, definitely. Yes, it is. It is called the chemical. There's a two-drug regimen, and it is called the chemical abortion pill. It's been dubbed the chemical coat hanger because it's just so dangerous to women. It causes hemorrhaging. It causes sepsis. It causes pelvic inflammatory disease, which causes future ectopic pregnancies. You know, the dangers to women are significant, and it totally takes it outside the protocols of typical medical ethics. You know, I wrote the only book, and I don't know this for a fact, but I've done some research, and I think I've written the only book on women's reproductive health in medical ethics. But what chemical abortion does is it extracts women who are facing unplanned pregnancy and from the ethical relationship between the doctor and the patient. It reduces standards of care to women facing unplanned pregnancy and puts them at greater risk of harm.
So do you think women don't have a legal right themselves, or women don't have, are not in a position to understand the decisions that they make again themselves, and that the government has a right to step in? And because if that's the case, then would people who feel that way, I always ask them, well, you know, there are people who believe that we should, what I'm looking for, execute people. And you can't say, you know, I'm pro-life, but execute that person over there for something they did. Life is life. And so how do we pick and choose? On the one end, we say, well, we're going to protect this life. But on the other end, we say that life, we're going to eviscerate.
Hmm. Well, to your first point about women not understanding, I think that the problem that we have with chemical abortion is that women are not being informed about the risks and side effects. In fact, that was the point, one of the issues of the court case in Washington State that said, hey, ignore the Texas ruling, FDA, ignore the Texas ruling, you got to keep doing what you're doing. One of the things they wanted is to totally deregulate chemical abortion to such an extent that they did not require a woman to sign off on the risks and side effects of chemical abortion. It reduced her informed consent, reduced her ability to know all the information, not just about her physical condition, but about what chemical abortion can and will do to her in the process. So, but with respect to, life is life, I agree, life is life. But I have a different position than you do, Earl, on the nature of, say, capital punishment. And the reason why is because I believe that the Bible is God's word, and the Bible talks about how government.
And I had two for tooth in the life. Is that what you're going to say?
Well, no, I was going to say the government bears the sword, which is the justice system, to punish those who do wicked and to reward those who do good. And there's wickedness in the world.
I know, but don't you see the hypocrisy in saying I'm pro-life, but?
Well, I think. Yeah, I can see how people could say there's hypocrisy there. But what we're trying to do with the justice, what the government's supposed to do with the justice system is demonstrate that all people should protect life, and that those who shed man's blood, that they're going to be held accountable for that. I'm personally not holding
yeah,
someone accountable.
Yeah, but held accountable for that by whoever your deity is that you believe in, not the government.
Well, the Bible says that God is the one that creates. He's the one that created the concept of government for this purpose.
I know, but don't you see when you talk about the Bible says that there's a holy Torah, as a Torah, there's a holy Quran, there's all sorts of other books, and we're only going to go by the one when we make these kind of decisions based on Christianity. You don't see the problem with that?
I see Christianity as the basis for a rule of law. Christianity,
okay,
Judeo-Christian.
Hey, hold the thought, sir. We've got to go to a break. All of you on the phone lines, we'll come to you after the break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Smiling faces sometimes. They don't tell the truth. Smiling faces.
We're old.
Moms, they really are the best. So this year, give her something really special. Write a special message for your mom, and we'll broadcast it right here on this station throughout the entire weekend of Mother's Day. Call 608-819-8255. 608-819-8255.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Acoustics is giving away over $50,000 throughout the month of April with our Tax Time giveaway. Starting March 31st and going until April 29th, Ho-Chunk Gaming Acoustics will be giving away some extra Tax Time money every Friday and Saturday in April. We'll start with warming everyone up this spring with hot seat drawings every hour from noon to 6 for your chance to win up to $100 in rewards play. Then we'll be giving away the green with drawings starting at 7 and going till 9 p.m. where two winners will win over $1,000 cash every hour. Guests must earn 25 points with their rewards club cards to participate. This April, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa will be having an egg hunt for the adults, this time with our $1,000 egg hunt starting at noon and going till 9 p.m. every Sunday and Monday. We'll be having hot seat drawings every hour to give away prizes up to $1,000 cash. Hop on over to Rewards Club booth for complete contest rules and details. Must be 21 or older to participate and enter the casino floor. Bring home some extra green this spring with Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 51. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows level off around 33. Scattered rain showers likely. Tomorrow, highs level off around 44. Overcast skies. Temps near average Thursday and Friday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 41.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Chance for scattered rain showers on Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 39 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Reverend James Harden. Let's go right to the phone lines. Let's begin with Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, pro-life. So he's not really against the death penalty. And that must also mean, though, he's against the insurance company death panels, adjusters that make life and death decisions. He must be in favor of universal health care. Must be against wars of choice conducted in a country that's never attacked the U.S. He definitely has got to be against attacks on women's medical clinics, some of which have resulted in the murder of medical personnel. He's got to be against millions and millions of privately owned military-level guns, because thousands of people are killed both accidentally through suicide and by intentional crazies killing people. Then, of course, there is things like prenatal care for women so that the children arrive in a healthy fashion. He's got to be in favor of that. He's absolutely, since he's pro-life, he's got to be in favor of taking care of the child. So he's got to have child care funding on the table. And he definitely is in favor of parental leave so at least one parent can care for the child. If he's not in favor of this stuff, he's not pro-life, period. He's pro-forced birth and doesn't really care about the living child. It's easy to care for the fetus who can't make any demands of his or her own. But once the child's left the womb, unless he's in favor of this stuff, That's not pro-life.
Hey, Jack. In the brand. Well said. Reverend Harden, you want to respond?
Yeah. Jack, thanks a lot for, I mean, I really appreciate your well-thought-out response. I am pro-life. The question is, who gets to define pro-life? Jack's got some moral outrage. I've got moral outrage. Whose moral outrage is correct, Jack? I am outraged over the fact that people think that, you know, the government has the ability to define who qualifies as a person and who does not qualify as a person. I'm outraged over that. I think everybody in this country,
somebody has to make that decision.
No, I don't think so.
Reverend
Hart. Who are we going to invest with that kind of power, Earl?
Well, right now we've invested it clearly with based on religious beliefs. As you stated, your Christian beliefs.
Well, I think my Christian beliefs are the basis for, the only basis for, really, making sure that the government doesn't get to decide who qualifies as a person and who doesn't, so that they can justify enslaving them or destroying them at their whim.
So hang on. Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Hey, Stephen, go ahead. Your shot.
Good morning, Earl. So this is what I have to say. And Earl, you already know my stance on this, so I'm not going to spend any time explaining myself and
the
position I take on a specific subject. But this is what I will say. Anytime I hear somebody using the Bible as a source of an argument when it comes to things like this, it kind of makes me laugh. Because if you're going to follow this, what it says in the Bible about children, then you have to follow everything in the Bible. You can't pick and choose what you want to follow. And there are parts in the Bible that says you're not supposed to eat anything that feeds off the bottom of the ocean. So anything that, you know, any seafood things like shrimp and lobster and stuff that feed off the bottom of the ocean can't eat it. Well, we eat it all the time. So if you're eating shrimp and lobster, then you can't say, well, it's okay not to listen to that one thing. But when it comes to abortion, we need to follow everything that it says in the Bible. Secondly, what happens if you're an atheist and you don't believe in God? Then the Bible means nothing to you. So when we say that we need to base our laws off of what it says in the Bible, and I'll just point out that an increasingly large number of the population is turning away from the church because, as a group of Christians, we are failing to realize that God calls us to love everybody, and instead we are picking to use his book as sometimes as a weapon. It's really turning people away from the church.
Hey, Stephen, I wish we had more time, but thank you very much for the call. Reverend Harden, our phone lines are full, and we've got to go to a break. So, Tom, Eric, CJ, Karina, I promise you we'll get to all of you after the break. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The civil trial against Fox News is set to begin today. Dominion Voting Systems accuses the network of knowingly broadcasting falsehoods about its technologies and the results of the 2020 election. Outside the courthouse in Wilmington, Delaware, ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Fox has called Dominion's case a political crusade in search of a financial windfall. The network's top host could be called to testify. Fox News argues they could not be liable for repeating newsworthy claims made by former President Trump and his allies.
Dominion is suing Fox for more than $1.5 billion. Today is tax day. The IRS says the average tax question caller was put on hold for only 4 minutes this year, a vast improvement over what was happening during the pandemic. The Treasury Department hired 5,000 new IRS call center agents. A court in Moscow has denied an appeal for the release of detained Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich, who appeared in court today for the first time. This is ABC News.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The man accused of killing his parents, the owners of the Union Star Cheese Factory, appeared in court yesterday. 25-year-old Eric Metzik of the town of Wolf River is facing two counts of first-degree intentional homicide. David and Jan Metzik, both in their 70s, were found dead in their home with gunshot wounds last month. Another son found them and contacted police. News 13 reports Eric Metzik is being held on a $1 million cash bond. He's due back in court on May 30th. State and local governments in Wisconsin wouldn't be allowed to ban gas-powered vehicles, snowblowers, lawnmowers, or other machines under a pair of bills up for a vote today in the Assembly. The bills are sponsored by Republicans who are hoping to outlaw measures similar to a law passed in California last year, which requires all new cars, trucks, and SUVs sold in that state run on electricity or hydrogen by 2035. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1. On Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You text us at that same number. My guest is Reverend James Harden. Let's go right back to the phone line. CJ, you're up next. Question or comment? Go ahead.
Let me call Earl and Mr. Harden. Thank you, Reverend Harden, for your work. First off, blur the definition between equity and equality. That's what the Democrats are trying to do. And, you know, I appreciate the pro-choice effort because I think there should be a common sense choice. And you never hear, I was told the statistics that there's more black babies aborted than are born in a year, every year in the United States. Abortion should not be contraception.
So let me ask you, man. Why would you throw out the more black babies being aborted? I mean, we're talking about abortion, man, across the board. What does it matter what color the person is?
That doesn't matter to you, Earl, huh?
Here's where that statistic is skewed. Black people only make up 12% of the population in the nation. So when you make and bring up a statistic like that, then that means the other, 88% of the people are other than black. And you can't tell me that the majority of the abortions are from black people. It's just numerically impossible. But anyway, go ahead.
You don't want to hear my answer. Does it bother
you? Not when your answer is incorrect. But go ahead, finish your question. We've got others on the line. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you what, it's sad because there's other forms of responsible contraception like abstinence and maybe birth control and maybe having the man wear a condom. And whether it's white or black, government-funded abortion is something that, yes, that's part of the problem. If you believe in it so much, then you folks pay for it, And I don't agree with Florida's law. A lot of women don't know they're pregnant at 6 weeks, so I'm not thrilled about that either. Common sense. And the mere fact that we sent it back to the states, we had the, now the Democrats.
Okay, that's enough. Let's go to Jim, Reverend Hardin. You want to respond?
There's so much to respond So thank you very much, CJ, for your passion. I mean, everybody's so passionate about this. The nation's on fire right now, Earl. I mean, you know that. And I think that's what the callers are representing here. The fact is, I look at the Bible and I see a story where God created mankind to have choice, human agency, the ability to choose. And the story of humanity is that we chose wrong. And the story that tells us is that good choices have good consequences and bad choices have negative ones. That's all we're saying. And that comes from the individual to society. And if society is making bad choices and making it more difficult for good people to do good things, then we're on the wrong path. And so is it possible for government to make a society good? And I think the answer to that is no. No amount of laws is going to make a society good. But what a government can do is back off and allow for good people to be able to do good things without too much interference. Okay. And so the question that we're trying to ask right now is, what is good? Is right?
So hang on, Reverend. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Tom, you want to respond quickly?
Sir, I have a question for you, just on semantics alone. Can we both agree that this issue is either a woman's right to choose versus the government's right to choose? This is not about pro-life or the opposite, pro-death, which I think the Republican Party is actually pro-death. That can we at least come to the terminology that this is pro-a woman's right to choose or pro-government's right to choose? Because you are saying that you don't want government involved, but yet at the same time, that's what this whole thing is about, is it's taking away a woman's right to choose. I am pro-life. I am pro-life in all cases, but I believe in a woman's right to choose because I'm not going to tell a woman what to do with her body. And you know what? 80% of the women out there choose to actually not terminate a pregnancy. Every day, women are getting pregnant, and they are choosing to actually have the child and carry it to term.
Okay, Tom, we're going to have him respond. Thank you.
We need to get this terminology right.
Thank you, Tom. Reverend, you want to respond?
Yeah, Tom, we've talked before. Tom's, he's he's a sharp cookie. And I just want to say that he's right about this. We've got to define our terms. And he has identified the debate very clearly. The debate is about whether or not it's a woman's right to choose or, and I would say this, personhood of the child. And we're talking past each other. Well, you and I have talked about this whole concept before. And so the pro-life people are saying, no, this child's a person. You know, the baby, the freeborn boy or girl is a person that needs to be protected under the law. That's where the state comes in, the state's rights to protect all their citizenry. But then there's another debate around a woman's right. And we're talking past each other. We're not talking about the same issues when we're talking about pro-life or pro-abortion. And so, you know, Tom's right about trying to figure out, okay, let's define our terms here. And where does government's role stop and a woman's start?
So let's do this, Reverend Hardin. Let's bring a woman on, since it's just been men talking about it. There is a woman, Karina. And Karina, your response.
Oh, thank you, Earl. Now, what kicks me off the most is religion is removed from the state on purpose. You have to separate those two issues. Because if I'm going to use a religion for the abortion, then I can say eye for eye and start shooting everybody like everybody does. So the religion aspect up front is not a right way to do it. There are a government who can decide what to do. And the most important thing is the nature. And the nature dictates that an adult is more important than the fetus. When that fetus become a child, then we can talk about the rights. Before that fetus become a child, we cannot assign any rights or freedoms, or even if we're gonna go to religion, what does it say, Earl? Help me. Free will, my darling, free will. I am capable of making decisions, even though I am a woman. Now, fetus do not able to make a decision.
So, Karina, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Reverend Hardin, you say.
Yeah, so Karina says that free will is the definition of what it means to be human. What does that mean if you're asleep? Do you become less human if you're asleep? Do you become less human if you're unconscious, if you're, on your deathbed? At what point do you allow government to step in and say, well, they're no longer human worthy of protection under the law? I think it's very, very dangerous. We've got a history. The 20th century is the bloodiest history, in the history of mankind. And it was because you had a bunch of tyrants, atheistic, secular tyrants, going around insisting that they were the ones that could define what it means to be human and how people should interact with one another. They were the ones that said they should have absolute power. Absolute power is the ability to define who lives and who dies. The government does not have that authority. And I would just say, look, you go to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., and look and see what's written on the front doors. What is inscribed on the front doors of the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C.? It refers to the rule of law. The basis of rule of law is not mankind, is not a bunch of, nine lawyers in black robes deciding what's right and what's wrong. No, it's 10 commandments are on the front doors of the Supreme Court. Which of those 10 commandments should we erase? Thou shalt not murder? Who gets to decide?
Well, listen, I really could, but I'm going to go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Eric, thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Yeah, sure, and that's why the Ten Commandments should be removed from the Supreme Court. And you say murder, but yet at the same time, you also, on the other side of your mouth, said that the state should be allowed to kill people. So you're kind of laughable. First, thank you, Earl, for correcting the arrogance that he came out and said that we're all made in the image of God, assuming, not only alienating anyone that doesn't belong or believe in his Christian beliefs, but also basically stating that anybody that doesn't is morally corrupt by nature. And then to follow with misinformation or disinformation that this is a dangerous drug when the complications are that require any kind of medical care are less than 0.4%, which is 4 out of every 1,000 patients. And if it's so dangerous, why are women and medical folks so outraged about this ruling? This doesn't make sense at all. And when you say that women are being misinformed, not only are you being misogynist beyond belief, but you're also kind of discounting or making a point not to mention there are female medical professionals. There are doctors. How are they misinformed? They're involved in this as well. All women? I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. You're being very misogynist with that. And being a male and being a reverend, you know, what is your stake beyond, you know, paternalism in this? And this is about the nation, not your personal beliefs or my personal beliefs. It's what the nation feels and how we should act as a nation, because we all are under these same laws. And the vast majority of Americans, vast majority, support a woman's right to choose. So again, you're going against the thing.
Eric,
and as far as whether it's a human or not, it's a parasite. It's a parasite on a female's body, and viability.
So Eric, thank you. I wish I had more time. Reverend Hardin, go ahead.
Eric, you know, he basically resorted to calling me a bunch of names. A child is not a parasite.
Basically, what he was saying is, you know, for a nation that claims to be neutral when it comes to religion, and then you can't refer to the Ten Commandments. And, you know, whatever it says there, it's you can't have the nation referring to that when we're free from religion. That's what this nation is supposed to be. It can't be both. It can't be an oxymoron, sir.
Well, I don't think this nation was intended to be free from religion. I think that freedom.
The founding fathers clearly left for persecution, religious reasons.
Sure. Yeah.
And they came here and didn't want that.
Well, they didn't want the government to set up its own religion, which I believe the government has done. The government has set up a religion of secularism and insisted that anybody who has a belief that differs from the narrative of those in political power, the political elite, should be silenced. And
well, so, but sir, that is kind of what you are saying when you say that Christianity is the religion that we go by in this country, when all these other religious beliefs. You don't see that you're saying the same thing? Or doing the same thing?
Well, Christianity is the religion that basically allows for people to make their own choices and have their own belief systems.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I'm not...
No, you. Okay, listen, I wish we had more time. David from Mequon, hang on. We'll get you on the other side. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
I'm crying. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never going to see another one like I had with you. These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never going to see another one like I had with you.
At Fisher Investments, our clients know we have their backs.
How do your clients know that?
Because Fisher Investments is a fiduciary, the highest standard for a financial advisor. It means we're there for our clients and always put their interests first.
So wait, you do it because you have to?
No, we do it because it's the right thing to do. Our clients trust us with their retirement savings, and we know how important that responsibility is. So we take the time to really get to know them.
Get to know them how?
We make sure we understand their unique goals, finances, health, family, and lifestyle so we can tailor their portfolio to their specific needs. Our goal is to help them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Sounds like a big responsibility. You must make big commissions then, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We have one single transparent fee that's structured so we do better when our clients do better. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you are switching to us. Fisher Investments. clearly different money management.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps. Truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 51. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows level off around 33. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. Highs level off around 44. Overcast skies. Temps near average Thursday and Friday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 41.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Dave from Mequon. Go ahead.
Earl, good morning, Reverend. This is going to upset you, Earl. What I'm going to say is
you can't upset
true.
Me. Go ahead.
Okay. Margaret Sanger is the one who gave the idea to this whole birth control. And keep in mind, she was very involved with eugenics.
I know about
she
eugenics.
She thought black people... What's that?
I know about eugenics.
Okay. She thought of black people as unfit to reproduce.
Hey, Dave, I know all of that, but again, I'm going to have to cut you off because I'm going to, again, say the same thing to you that I said to CJ. This has nothing to do with black and white because in the end, the amount of abortions that are being had may be disproportionately blacks over whites, but the sheer numbers aren't. It's impossible. So this being black and white is not the issue here. Abortion is across the board.
Okay, Earl, at the end of the day, but that is the reason why abortion became, in as far as what was produced, was based on racism. That is the whole reason why it came about. The fact that it was targeting black people in particular.
Okay, so Dave, today?
Planned Parenthood is trying to erase Margaret Sanger's history.
Hey, Dave.
They are trying to erase the history of why that was actually formulated.
Do you think that's why women...
not for women's choice.
Dave, do you honestly believe that's why women have abortions because of Margaret Sanger?
Unfit.
Huh?
Well, that's the truth, Earl.
Oh, okay.
That's the reason why it came about.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Reverend Hart, I'm going to let you finish it up. It's your time.
Dave is right. That's how it started. Women have abortions because they feel stuck. They feel trapped. Like they got no choice at all. And our job
as Christians...
You
think that's the only reason women have abortions?
Well, I mean, it's changed significantly over the last 10 or 15 years.
Go ahead.
But there are certainly other reasons, economic, standard of living, things of that nature. But the fact is that we can do better as a society. Women feel alone. That's the bottom line. They feel like they got to do it alone. The only way to rectify this is if we come alongside each other and not just help her have her baby, but actually create a community of people who support one another.
Hang on. So listen, here's a text message. Ask the pastor, should the woman have to work after the child is born? Should all children have support after birth to death if circumstances deem it?
Yeah, I think that
which is what you were just saying.
Yeah, every woman needs to be supported. Every child needs to be supported. The Bible says that a man who doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. We have a massive moral breakdown in our society, and the abortion is a symptom of a much larger problem that we need to look at.
But don't you see that when people diminish what you are saying, when you keep saying what the Bible says, because again, there are many other religious books, and you can't base the whole society on what one book says.
Well, it's not. It's the reason I say the Bible says is because it's better than me saying this is what I say.
I got that. But there are other religious books, and when you eliminate all of them, you kind of do a disservice. And it gives people a chance to dismiss what it is you are saying when you keep saying the Bible says.
Well, the reason everybody has to have a final authority. Everybody's got a final authority. It's either their own head, or it's their government, or it's their God. And I'm telling you, my final authority is God. And I think that Judeo-Christian heritage basically says it gives us the opportunity as a society to value all human beings equally.
Reverend Hardin, Judeo-Christian beliefs have done some horrific things in history, right?
I don't think it was the beliefs that did it. I think it was the people.
But it was they were Christian. Okay, they were under the title of Christian. So that's where we get into trouble when we try to do this.
Well, I think the communists have done more damage.
Sir, come on. With all due respect, we know the history of Christianity in this country. So, but go ahead.
I just want to be careful to make sure that people know it's not Jesus himself represented in every single bad action of a person who claims to be a Christian. That just makes them hypocrites if they're doing the wrong thing, right? And I you can accuse me of doing the wrong thing, but I have in the past. I fully admit that. I don't think there's anybody in this world that wouldn't admit they've done the wrong thing. But the question is, what is the right thing, and can we get closer to it? And in order to do that, we got to get closer to God. In order to get closer to each other, we got to get closer to God. And then we can value each other like we should.
I don't disagree with that at all. It's just, whose God are we talking about? And that's where we have the problems in this country. So when we talk about abortion and those kinds of things, we got to figure out, we can't just say, according to the Bible, because you're going to continue to get people to push back. We got to go to somewhere else. I don't know where it is in order to have a dialogue that maybe we can work this through. But go ahead.
Our nation is no longer a religious nation. People mostly don't believe in God at all. They have become their own God. You got 330 million people running around insisting that they can create themselves and make themselves and insist that everybody has to go along with what they say and ask the government to mediate. Liberty has changed the definition from a duty to myself and my fellow man to a license that government gives me to do what I want. And that creates chaos. It creates more situations where the government's got to step in and create more laws to restrict more people. And that's, this is, we've got an immoral nation. And I don't think an immoral nation can keep its freedom for very much longer.
You know, Reverend Hardin, I love having dialogue with you, and we're going to continue to do it. I really appreciate it. Thank you as always.
You too.
Another, great conversation. Really appreciate it. We'll talk soon. I want to thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, callers. Could not do it without you. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
He's the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown.
Where can you go where it's always a standard room only? You ain't gonna find that in Chicago.
It's never personal, only politics.
You ain't gonna find that in Minnesota, standing room only, because you can go to the gumball machine, stick a quarter in there, I'll come pick it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
That's the way it is, man. We love football fans. Fans love us.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.